this goes on. Another day. Come on, baby, now what do you say? Let's take our love one night at a time. All night, love all night. Practice makes perfect. Gonna get it right. Gonna get it right. One night at a time.
Civic Media app, 105.5 WIRI, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, warm and muggy tonight, maybe a storm late, and lows in the mid-60s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, few showers and storms, heating up, highs up into the mid-80s. Hot and humid Friday, mostly sunny, highs within a few degrees of 90. Right now we're at 83 degrees.
Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to Playmakers. Let's start the show. Time to get going on a Wednesday. Hope it's treating you good out there. Happy afternoon to everybody. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I'm joined by sports director here at the studios, Michael Comer.
How you doing, my friend?
Yeah, doing good. How you doing, man?
It could be worse. Could be better.
Right? Yeah, that's the way. That is the day. That is a Wednesday. That is the mantra of Wednesday.
Yeah, whatever Wednesday. Yeah.
The major motion picture movie Wednesday, the tagline is, could be worse.
Yep.
Could be worse. We appreciate you joining us, everybody. We're going to have some fun this morning. We're going to be getting into a couple of different things. I want to talk a little bit about some good stories out there. They got some fun ones. Talk a little bit about Packers training camp. Michael, on Monday, I was talking a little bit about some of the position battles, and I think that are kind of interesting, especially in Lambeau this training camp season.
Oh, yeah.
And a couple other things. Certainly, we're going to talk some Raptors as we're getting ready to wrap up the season. I try really hard to start our shows on positives, and so we're not actually going to go right to the lead that we want to go to right away. I want to bring up Northern Illinois beating Notre Dame again. Did this happen months ago, Michael? Yes.
Almost a year.
It's not breaking news.
No.
But I happened to hear a Notre Dame fan on a sports show this morning.
Well, that'd have been good.
And they immediately brought this game up. And I realize one of the joys and the beauties of college football, of loving a team that is not necessarily ever going to win a national title, and you pretty much know this. Sure. I'm not talking to your rational fans. Well, this team out of the MAC, it's never going to happen.
Mighty MAC.
Never going to happen. Although I will say, if it was ever going to happen for a MAC team, not NIU, but a MAC team, I think this college football playoff kind of sets it up for the opportunity, possibly, for things falling in the right way. Never going to happen. But regardless, what I do have is victories like that. I have wins like that that for the rest of my life, I'll be hearing Notre Dame fans whining about.
Yeah.
And I love that about college football, so I do want to talk a little college ball with you because whether people realize it or not, it is right around the corner.
Like 3 weeks.
It's awesome. So close. But where we do have to really start, where every sports show in America is starting this morning, is with the merger. And it is a merger, but it's more of a business exchange, if you will. ESPN and the National Football League announced a non-binding agreement under which ESPN will acquire NFL Network and certain other media assets owned and controlled by the NFL, including NFL Linear Red Zone Channel, NFL Fantasy, in exchange for a 10% equity stake in ESPN.
Money. That's money.
Yeah, the rich getting richer, the powerful getting more powerful. We're unfortunately used to this in our country. One of the things that I think that it needs to be said here is I think what a lot of people are reading, and I'm hearing some people talking about, is that this is like a two teams coming together, and they're going to share things and all this. What this is one big thing, and anybody, the most unkept secret in all of entertainment, Disney's been trying to get rid of ESPN for years, going on almost 3 years now. They've been trying to. Nobody's buying. Nobody's biting. ESPN keeps cutting salaries, keeps cutting shows, and still nobody's biting.
Well, if the product was a little better, maybe.
Well, that's what I would think. If I'm going to sell a car, the last thing I'm going to do is take a hammer to it. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, Demo Derby, maybe.
But unfortunately, in the sports world, it's the exact opposite. If you're trying to sell a team, you strip it for all its parts, apparently. And when it comes to these networks, they're doing the same thing, trying to make it cheap to people, cheaper to sell. Regardless, what this is the NFL, and Roger Goodell told us this was going to happen, if you read between the lines. He said a while ago, and I'm not going to get the quote right, but basically they're not competing with MLB and NBA.
He's right.
They're competing with Apple. They're competing with Amazon. They're competing.
Yeah.
That's where they see this now. They see this as a major business, and they just bought stock in a sports network. That's what they did. They got a 10%. If this was not the NFL, if it was Amazon, if it was Apple or something like that, that's the way you need to look at this.
Yeah.
Journalism has been hanging on by a thread as it is. What accountability could we ever expect of ESPN, of the NFL, ever going forward? I didn't expect much to begin with. But right now, if there is some controversy happening in the NFL in the next year or two, I don't expect the mouse to cover it.
What it is.
I almost don't care. I almost don't think it matters. There is not going to be any. And even if they do cover it, what honest journalism is going to be done when you're owned by this? This is what we see with Amazon and the Washington Post. We see this with a lot of different things right now. And this is the biggest trouble, one of the biggest troubles to me about all of this. Whether people like it or not, and whether people like the work that is always done, journalism has always been meant to be that line between us and them. And that line is not supposed to meant to be being blurred. That's not supposed to be able to be bought. And it has been in recent decades. It should be frightening people. It should be bugging people. Not frightening people. The time to get scared is long gone. The time to act is now. Forget me with being afraid or scared or upset or any of this stuff. I'm tired of whining. We need action about this stuff. Because they just keep rolling over us. They did this. They dropped this like it was a Friday news drop.
Yep.
And
3:30, right before you're punched out of the clock. Yep.
So before noon, I thought I'd check ESPN, the NFL Network. The headline was off of there already. They put it up there long enough for hey, we put it up there, and then it's immediately replaced by a bunch of garbage. Matthew Stafford is dealing with an ailment.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see it at all today.
There,
what
this means, as far as trying to take positives, because I really do try to take positives out of any situation in life. I believe perspective is one of the best friends you can have. To me, this is supposed to mean that one of the complaints I've had, and I think a lot of people have, is where do I find these games? How do I get to these games? This should mean that at the very least, if you have cable, you should be able to see your games. ESPN should be playing more of these games, should have more of a stake in that, and should be able to. And they have 14 different networks, so as far as being able to play a game, there should not be any excuses there. The coverage of this stuff, if you wanted more football conversation, if you wanted more football on ESPN, well, there you go. You got that. There are those things. I don't necessarily think there are many things in life where it's 100% negative. It's 100% evil. There are probably positives here that we may not be seeing yet.
There always are.
But overall, man, this don't feel good.
So are they doing away with the NFL Network, period, end of story?
I don't think so. I think they're going to keep that. It's just that it's going to probably have a lot more crossover.
Okay.
You're probably going to see a lot more personalities shared over on both networks. Shows. I think you're going to see a lot of that. And you're going to see both of these entities trying their hardest to win you over.
Yeah.
They by now, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's earlier over on the East Coast, earlier on the West Coast, later on the East Coast. By now, the news has sunk in for even the Roger Goodells and the most bubbled people in the world. They're going to be trying to win people over. They're going to be trying. Right. And I think with that, again, that's a positive for fans in some ways. But in the long run, I've never heard of a monopoly being good for a society.
No.
In any regard, under any line of business. I don't care if we're just talking about bread. It's not good for us.
No, it's not. There's
no business where a monopoly is good, and it's getting closer and closer to that. When you sent over the headline last night, I think it was both of our first thoughts.
Yeah, I think we, as always is the case, I think we look at it from way too, not way different, but from two different sides of it. And I'm not going down the rabbit hole of politics in this one.
I don't think actually that has anything.
No. But the perspective that I'm drawing from it is derived from that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to go on the airwaves here and say what way I lean. But if you know me, you know which way I lean. And I'm sure our listeners, when we've talked about things, they probably figured it out, too. I know our listeners are very smart. Mm-hmm. I'm not very smart, so I don't cover it.
Smartest listeners in radio.
That's right. That's right.
Shameless.
You have to.
You got to try.
But we've seen what happens when the media is controlled by one side of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, be that said, I don't listen to the side that I agree with. I don't listen to the side that I don't agree with. But when I do, I listen to both sides and piece it all together.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you have to do anymore.
Yeah.
And I've said it on the show before, you know, about what's the difference between the conspiracy theory and fact. Usually anymore, about 6 months to a year. Mm. Well, lately coming up on 4 years. But the thing is that I'm getting at is what I'm concerned about with this whole thing is there is no check and balance with it.
Yes.
It's all what the Mouse Network wants to push. Because I don't think this is going to be the one that where the NFL is saying, hey, Mouse Network, you're doing this. And thanks for getting me hooked on calling it the Mouse Network, by the way, James. But that's the thing that I'm concerned about. Because on ESPN, on the Mouse, on the Rodent. That's a good one.
I like it.
On the Rat.
Yeah.
Well, no, don't get that confused with Roscoe. Right, he's a good dude.
Right, yeah.
But all you hear about on the Rat is Dallas, the New York market, the left coast, be it all the California teams, and maybe Baltimore, Miami.
Yeah.
New England used to be, but that's all you hear. You don't hear squat very rarely about our NFC North. Or AFC North. I mean, you're hearing more of it because of Aaron's there now. And I mean, because there's so much parity in the NFC North, too.
Oh, yeah, but it's only when there's the low-hanging fruit of, controversy here, injury here, or something like
right.
that.
Right, yeah. And that's where I'm concerned, because if it is the Mouse calling the shots here, you're going to hear even less. And that's one thing I did like about the NFL Network was, like, Good Morning Football. You had a Vikings fan on there, a Bears fan on there, and they'd have guys who play for Detroit. They didn't talk much about Green Bay,
no. But
you still got the North in there, and you got to learn about your foes.
I remember James Lofton being on there on a consistent basis for a while and doing a little of that. They had a couple of Greg Jennings, I think, too. Or not Greg Jennings, somebody else.
He was there a few times.
Another former receiver for the Packers that did a little bit of that.
Jones?
Yes, that's it, Jones, yeah. I like your point there, and I like what you're saying, and I agree with you. I also didn't think about that with Good Morning Football. I don't think I ever noted that. Well, I want to give them credit for that. That's true. They get their market.
Right.
They get the idea. They understand.
Right, because another jumping to a different show, the Pat McAfee show, they got a Packer fan on there.
Yeah.
So I mean, okay, that's cool, but I don't want to see it all turn into that show, because that show gives me a headache. When I want to watch the NFL about the headlines, what's coming up for the next week, what's going on the preseason games, what's coming up on nudge, nudge, wink, wink, fantasy football. That is where I'm concerned very much so about this. And just even when Dallas is horrible, which when haven't they since 95? That's all they talk about is Jerry and his band of misfits.
Yeah,
and it's, come on, I'm tired of this. Put them on the back burner. Put someone else up there. Put, for God's sake, Chicago on there for even.
Outside of our moms, I don't believe anybody should have unchecked power. I'm just trying to cover my. I got a Jewish mother that is listening to every second I'm saying. I got to cover my bases here, man.
I've got a scary, intelligent mother, and nothing against you know, but she's sitting there. Yes, Michael. Yes.
Even moms would agree. And in fact, a lot of us learned this from our moms. No, there is nothing that should be unchecked. There is no power that should be unchecked, and there should be no power that is above being questioned. If it is, that tells you right there your answer. Yeah. If it has a problem and a pushback and it gets defensive, it tells you immediately where it's coming from. To me, that's one of the, again, bigger problems with this story is the idea of when there is a Tua situation, when there is a concussion, when there is a knucklehead that acts out and does something crazy or does something insane, which happens in the NFL our whole lives.
When doesn't it? Yeah.
How are they going to cover it?
Well,
and are they going to cover it honestly? And I really would love to be able to give them the benefit of the doubt, but we haven't had that. We haven't seen that. So I will say, again, looking for positives, just like we are doing today in what you bring in this full circle, what you brought up with politics and just in the media in this day and age, most people, I think, are able to hunt down the truth, are able to find that out. And oftentimes, you have to be a journalist to do it. Not the same type, maybe, but doing your own reporting, doing your own research, and looking into things, and looking at multiple sources. I've been doing this for almost 10 years now, where I start up my mornings not just looking at the, as you call it, left-west or anything like that. I look at all parties, and I read from all parties.
Yep.
And
I'm
not afraid. I'm strong enough of a human being that I'm not afraid to read opinions that I don't agree with. It doesn't scare me or freak me out. I can handle it. I'm a grown man. When it comes to...
You're 50.
And almost. When it comes... Don't put me there yet. When it comes to this, I think the fear is understandable for people. And I think that where they're coming from is understandable. What I hope is that I hope all the time that I'm wrong. I think I'm the only person on these airwaves that is... Not our airwaves personally, but on radio in period, that is willing to do that and say that. I don't mind being wrong. In fact, there's a part of me that likes it because I learned something. I would love to be wrong about this, that this merger and this whole thing works out. And we're all happy as fans. We're getting to see more games and everybody's all right. I have nothing against business. I am a proud American, man. I understand the game. I know how business works. If this is the best for both parties and it's a smart business move and all that, et cetera, and it's not going to hurt anybody, cool. Let's keep it moving. Give me some football.
Yeah.
But I don't have that feeling. My gut doesn't tell me that. My gut doesn't lead me down that road.
Well, and that brings up my next question here, which came up today, which I don't know if you saw or not, but smelling salts banned in the NFL.
Yeah,
and that's it. Now on the front page value of it, I look at that and say, what? What? No. Why? I don't think. Smelling salts aren't meant to be exclusively used.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a good attention getter. But at the same time, their reasoning behind it is something you touched on, the concussion thing, that they can mask the signs and symptoms of a concussion.
Wow, I didn't know that. I hadn't heard that. I hadn't read that. I got to look into that.
I read a little bit about that.
Yeah.
And granted, I was at work, so I only had a couple minutes to actually read it.
I hear you.
But, you know, I'm sitting there. I'm thinking, well, you know, it makes sense because it snaps you to it, and you focus so much harder on that you could possibly fool the test given.
Yeah.
And then as time goes on, you start losing it. And man, that's one thing that left the news waves pretty quick too.
My dad is one of the most honest people I've ever known, and the character that I hope to be, and everything.
You are a character.
I got a lot of it, all right. I will never forget seeing him in boxing matches, or even in hockey a little bit, but mostly in boxing. He shouldn't have been out there. There's no reason he should have been in that ring. There's no reason. The guy was like a week or two before that was in a car accident, and he's still out there and everything. But he wanted to be. It's what his passion was. It's what he loved to do. He wanted to feed his family, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Like, if an athlete can trick a test, let alone a smelling salt test, they're going to do it.
Yep.
I would do it. Like, I'll be completely honest. I don't even know what it's like to be an athlete. I would definitely do it. And I understand why they do it. It's also the job of management to stop that from happening, and to be the smarter person in the room, or at least the rational person in the room. Not smarter, but rational person in the room. Like, hey, you can't even see my finger right now. You can't go out there and play. The smelling salt thing is very interesting, though. That's kind of wild. I do think, though, there is something we're missing here in the great footage of NFL players on the sideline getting the smelling salt and the look that they'd make afterwards. We're going to miss that. Younger fans are never going to get to see that. That's a shame.
It is. if you want to just verify it, I mean, Yahoo Sports, the New York Post, the mouse, the rat, the peak, the colorful bird they're all reporting it.
Interesting.
So,
yeah.
That's and, really I mean, cool. One thing, too, one sport that it's looked into is rugby's taking note as the NFL banned it.
Huh. Interesting. So. I think it's cool only because my son graduated neurology. He's a neuroscientist. And to me, the brain is so darn fascinating. So the fact that this is something that we are figuring out could do this, I just find that interesting. There's nothing cool about the subject matter or anything like that. And it is... it is a little bit of even more melancholy when you think about former players and players of the past. And at a certain time, this was the way that they woke people up to get back out there and play.
Yeah, wasn't there a Super Bowl when I think it was a Viking receiver got laid out?
Yeah.
I mean, literally put to sleep on the field by a Raider. I mean, unreal.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's very interesting. So I brought up college football earlier. And I don't know if anybody...
We didn't get a chance to talk about that last week either.
No, so it's right around the corner, everybody. And with it, there's going to be, of course, some changes. You always have conference changes now. Turning the face of time. A part of a sweeping rebrand, the American Athletic Conference formally changed its name to American Conference, ditching the acronym AAC, and added its first mascot, Soar the Eagle, because nobody's using an eagle.
Kind of looks like an older, more post-pubescent version of... of our mascot here, Agatha, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. That's really good. I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
The league will use American Conference on first reference and American on subsequent references. The modernized website will go live. It already did go live. I'm sorry. So that's already been happening. That's in place. And for those that see that and are like, what is going on? What is the American Conference? There you go. There you know what it is now. I'm curious to see what happens. I bring this up in part to, catching people up, but also what's going to happen to the AC or AAC or ACA or whatever they want to call it, or the MAC conference and all of those. I admit journalistically that I am a gigantic fan of MAC football. I love MAC football. It's my favorite conference by far and away. It's some of my favorite football. I hate what they do to that conference and making them play Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and all these things.
I love it personally.
As a fan, I love it. But being around some of those athletes at NIU and everything, I know what it does to them and how difficult it is playing a game on Saturday and then you got a game on Tuesday. And there's nobody else being asked to do that in college football. It's weird.
No, not normally.
But regardless, that's a whole other story and everything. I think that it's a fun conference, and it's fun football.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what's going to happen to these conferences as we go farther along, and it gets more and more valuable week to week, the teams that you play. And, I got to make sure that my record is good, and not just my record is good, but the bodies laying behind me are notable. And so why would I play a MAC team if it's not going to help me get into the college football playoff?
Yeah, but you're going to play a Division II team like the SEC does?
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with that. I don't think the days of Alabama playing Pepperdine in Week 10 are going to continue. I don't think they can.
I hope not.
Me too. Me too.
But Pepperdine's
The downside is, money for these teams. That's exactly where I'm going, man. And I bring up the NIU victory over Notre Dame for a lot of reasons, but one of them, the payday that NIU got off of that.
A game you weren't supposed to win, you actually win it and you get the money too.
It means a lot to these conferences, to these Appalachia states in those teams.
Well, it used to be Appalachia State.
So when I'm curious to see how that develops, how that goes going forward. But just as exciting, I think, just as more importantly, maybe even to most college football fans, is the season is upon us.
Mm-hmm.
As we're going along this season, one of the things I think to keep in mind, and I want to hear from listeners about, is the times of these games.
Usually 11, 2:30, 5:30, 6:30, 7:30, and then 9.
And traditionally, Michael, we see the Southern Conference usually playing later games. Yes. A little bit cooler, cooler temperatures and everything.
I wouldn't say that.
Should say either morning or night. It's usually that, not usually afternoon. You don't usually see that in the heart of the heat.
Right.
That seems like it's changing a little bit with the fox and the mouse fighting each other for ratings.
That's not much of a fight usually.
No. They're pushing these, like the big noon Saturday and some of that stuff and everything. They're going to be putting these games where they want them, not where the fans do. And I want to hear from listeners about how you feel about that and how that's going for fans, and if you care even. It might be something that just seems like a big deal to me. I don't know. I'm excited for college football. That's basically that's the basic story.
At the end of the day, and I mean, and for our fans out there, keep an eye on some of these conferences. Because you're going to be looking a little different after this year, I do believe.
Yeah. I don't know that. I mean, there's no realistic way things can stay the way they are.
Right.
Especially with the money only getting bigger and bigger, you're going to have to jump into another conference.
Yeah.
You're going to have to think about it. And I do think that one thing that could happen with a lot of these smaller conferences, if they were to band together and do something similar to what the SEC and the Big Ten are doing right now.
Like the MAC and CUSA or whatever.
Yeah,
because the Pac-10's coming back, or Pac-12, whatever it is, coming back. Hook up with the Big 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you half of your Big 12's in it. So do it.
I'd like to see that. I'd also like to see a pushback from one or two of these universities. I was really hopeful about this with Texas and Oklahoma. That if I thought that more than any other teams, that if they were going to stand their ground and they were going to stick in the Big 12 and like, well, why do we need the SEC? We're Texas. We're Oklahoma. We're bigger than almost college football. Like, as far as rivalries go, as far as recognizable brands in college football you don't get much bigger than those two teams.
Unfortunately, they shut up, got in line, and collected their paycheck.
Yeah.
That's what they did.
And I'm not going to judge them for it.
No, by any means.
But I was hopeful that they would have stayed, and I really feel like that had they done that, and I think if you can play the long con and stretch in there, hang in there and everything, they could have brought more teams to the Big 12. They could have made it stronger as a conference and been their own. Be their own Alabama and Georgia. You know, why do you need to sit behind them when, and go to their conference? Be your own thing.
Yep.
I would have liked to have seen that. I know that that's gone now, but maybe with the way these teams move around, maybe they'll move back. Who knows?
Well, Colorado went from the Big 12 to the Pac-12 and now back to the Big 12.
Yeah,
so you never know, but I think there's three teams in that Big 12 that are probably going to do that. Mm-hmm. Do exactly what you said, and that'll be OK State, K-State, and Colorado. As of right now with Colorado and Dion, and I hope Dion can stay there for the long haul coaching. I just don't know after what we talked about last week.
And his health.
Yeah. But I mean, maybe Arizona State can light a fire underneath themselves, BYU maybe. But, man, that's a tough one.
I have no stake in this, but for some reason, I really do hope that Arizona State continues to be good. Like, that wasn't just a fluke last year and all that. I like their coach. I like the attitude over there. And get in a couple of more Bam Scataboos or something like that. I'll be all in on ASU. I'll be on the little Sun Devils or something. I don't know. I like the way that they're playing. And that's the thing about college football to me. I'm that crazy fan like a lot of you and a lot of other people out there that loved the Hawaii 9:00, 10:00 game.
It
didn't matter who they were playing.
Yep.
They could be playing the B squad for Hawaii and I'd be all locked in and everything. Watching those games. I love college football. I'm excited for it to be back. Speaking of college sports, college baseball, one of our good stories of the show, Kentucky Little League manager Jake Redorn decided to tell his team a joke about a koala during a mound visit the other day. And I love this story, and I thought it was really cool and unique. And then I started thinking about it. And I'm like, I wonder how many times in baseball history that happens, where a manager's going up there, and we think something really ultra serious is going on, and they're like, hey, so I was thinking for dinner later. we haven't had the Colonel in a while. What do you guys think about that? I love the idea of them going up there. It has nothing to do with the game. I also think it's not a bad strategy. Especially when it comes to baseball, where you may not have a sport that's more overthinking or more isolated than tennis certainly, but
maybe.
Baseball's pretty close. I like the idea of going up there, and what are you supposed to do when a no hitter's going? not talk about it.
Yeah.
I like the idea of a manager going up there and being like, all right, so why did the chicken cross the road? it just telling a joke. Just tell, that was great. It's a great story. And shout out to that manager. It worked out for them. We will take a quick timeout. We'll come back and have some more playmakers for you where we speak sport on 105.5 WIRI.
What's faster than a speeding bullet and more powerful than a locomotive? Your potential when you partner with WAM Incorporated. WAM Inc. is your source for promotional power. From custom apparel, pens, tumblers, magnets, and beyond, we've got everything needed to win the day. You can also soar onto our new website, whaminc.com. WAM Inc. for the hero in you.
Summer gatherings happen around the grill, so make sure whatever you're grilling is delicious and healthy. Family Natural Foods prides themselves in providing quality, free-range, hormone-free chicken, beef, shrimp, Alaskan salmon, and for something special, buffalo. All great for the grill. Family Natural Foods carries the summer family essentials, all-natural bug spray and sunscreen, flea and tick for your four-legged friends, and electrolytes to keep you hydrated. Family Natural Foods, your home for making this summer great. Family Natural Foods, West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids.
This is 105.5 WIRI.
Yeah, my whole life sounds like the radio. You've been trying to love her, but you leave your heart breaking. Oops, what a bad man. I hope she never breaks.
WIRI. On your radio at 105.5 FM and wherever you are with the free Civic Media app. Download it now in the Google Play or App Store.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, warm, and muggy tonight, maybe a storm late, and lows in the mid-60s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, few showers and storms, heating up, highs up into the mid-80s. Hot and humid Friday, mostly sunny, highs within a few degrees of 90. Right now we're at 83 degrees.
Welcome back, everyone. Playmakers on 105.5. I just want to see him in concert. I really do. Thank you to Mr. Stapleton playing us in. Michael and James here with you. Hope you're having a great afternoon out there. Thanks for joining us for another edition of Playmakers, where we speak sport. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Phone lines are wide open, 715-424-2600. Hit us in the numbers. You can call up or text us through the Civic Media app. Got my phone right here, so I should be able to keep an eye on the text line if you want to jump in, everybody. We'd love to talk sports with you. I know that we were talking a little college football there, Michael. We can always come back to it, but getting into the NFL and training camp news that's going on, the new addition, Hobbs, had his knee scoped. Yep. He's out for the remainder of training camp. This is an interesting one here. So hearing him talk about it today and the press conference and everything and addressing it, one, I really do enjoy athletes like Hobbs that seem like they get it. Like I immediately hear of this injury, and it's right after hearing news of him in training camp hitting too hard and some of those things. And I do see a correlation with that, a la what I talked about all year last year with Detroit. I love Detroit. I like the way Detroit plays football. I don't know that you can play a 20-game season that way.
No.
You got to be able to punch people in the mouth. You also got to be able to take a punch. And it's a two-way street. And I don't know that Detroit can always do that health-wise. What good is it to make the sack if it tears your ACL? You know?
Right.
So with Hobbs, I was a little nervous about that. But then I heard his conversation today and him talking about it. And he jumped on this right away when he felt something was off, because he understands how important his body is, not just to him and his family, but to his team. And the whole reason he was really pushing himself is to try to prove himself to his teammates. That right away told me a lot about this guy that I didn't know. And I already knew he was a good ball player. I already knew that he could, you know, shut down good receivers and all that. it said everything that I wanted to hear about the people that are going into that locker room and some veteran maturity. Even hurt, he is showing these guys how a professional handles the game and how he handles his body. To have the respect for your body that way and understand that, I think it's a good lesson for him and for the team. And as, again, looking at silver linings for these things, it's nothing too serious. It might even be better keeping him out of training camp, to be honest with you. I mean,
it might be.
He's a vet. What is he going to? I don't know how much he necessarily needs to learn. Some camp, you know, if he had no camp, it'd be different.
I want him healthy for that game against Detroit.
Right, right.
And the thing is, I mean, was that an injury that he incurred during practice?
Somebody bumped into him in practice.
That's what it was?
During a play, yeah. It was just a regular play. He was talking about it, and somebody ran into kind of his hip or something, and it was
normal.
That'll do it. He got up like normal, and then it was like, ooh, something didn't feel right. And so he went to trainer right away. And that's I respect that. Get over the tough guy mentality. You know what tough is? Smart. Mm-hmm. Smart is tough. You know what tough is? Being there in week 18 for your team.
Yep.
Being there, fulfilling your contract. That's tough to me. Not the idea of, well, I'm going to play even if I'm dead. I'm going to go out there. No, you're no good to us.
Yep.
You're no good to us. And you just wasted all that money we spent on you.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that I was concerned about was when I saw that, I'm like, oh, God, don't let this be another Jair.
Yeah,
and I like Jair Alexander, but the injury thing, and I had already heard that he was a little banged up over in Baltimore already. So it's like, oh boy, for their sake, I hope not. But it'll be interesting to see if he's even on the field when Baltimore comes to Green Bay this winter. So we'll see what happens with that. But you know, good for him. I mean, knees are important. So
the other news coming out of Green Bay that was been kind of interesting. Matt LaFleur was asked about the wide receiver room and when it comes time for cuts and some of those things and how that might go. And
that room is loaded.
He scoffed at a lot of the idea of to him and the way he's sounding. And this is also a little bit of showmanship too, and part of what you have to do when you still have players in that locker room. But even with that, he sounds like he wants to keep it loaded. Like and not just loaded, but happy. He's thinking about that. He's taking that into consideration of getting everybody a ball, making sure that his receivers are getting playing time and reps.
I mean, out of the whole football field, I mean, you can say what you want about quarterbacks, running backs, whatever, defensive backs. The wide receiver room, and maybe I'm being too general with it, that's the diva room, man. You've got to make sure everybody's happy.
Yeah, and even if you have a room that isn't filled with divas, you've got people in there that don't have necessarily the veteran experience that you really want. Mm-hmm. It might be the youngest position on the team, and again, one of the youngest teams in football. When it comes to not only being the veteran in that room, like Matt LaFleur needs to be, but I think out of all the positions on that offense, it's the one that I would be not I don't mean worried about, but I would be coaching more. I would be there ready to coach more. I think your tight ends are pretty set. I would like to see a solid running back up to Jacobs.
Lloyd's pretty solid.
Yeah,
and then Wilson.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like you're pretty set at running back. Even if you just had Josh Jacobs, I'd be pretty happy. I love that man. I love that player have for his whole career going back to college. The offensive line is working itself out. They'll work it out between each
they
other
always do.
More than anything. And I think your quarterback room is really strong. It's one of the. Here is a wonderful thing for Packer fans out there. I don't think you just have a great young quarterback that the sky's the limit and all these things. I got you. You got one of the best backups in football.
And personally, expect a trade.
Maybe.
There's going to be a trade. There will be someone who really needs one, and they're going to be willing to give up something, and it's going to be on defense.
If that's the case, then I'm listening. But other than that, I like Jordan Love. I believe in Jordan Love. We haven't seen him play a full season yet.
Right.
I need my backup to not just be good and not just to be average. I want somebody that I believe could win a playoff game. I think Malik Willis could win a playoff game.
Yeah, and I think Malik can.
So to me, I'm not letting that guy go for much of anything other than a starter. You're going to give me a starter on defense? Well, listen, you're going to give me a second-round pick. I'm talking a number two, and I'm not even picking up the phone for anything less.
Right.
That's how valuable that position is, and that's how if without Malik Willis there, if Jordan Love goes down, every Packer fan is having the same feeling. Season's over. With Malik there, you may be worried. You're going to be concerned. You're not going to feel as confident as with Jordan Love, but you're not putting up a white flag. You're not doing that. you are going to more. You are going to keep battling. Mm-hmm. That is too dang valuable to give up for almost anything.
Right.
I want not a starter on defense. I might want one of those killers I've been talking about.
Yeah.
I don't mean Micah Parsons. I just mean somebody who brings a good attitude to the team, has a veteran experience and some of that.
Right, because that's the other thing. I mean, you need a quarterback. You're obviously not going to get rid of one of his weapons, are you?
No.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
So that's why I say you're going defense.
Yeah. So the position battle is also in the wide receiver room in Green Bay.
Yeah.
It is also the most interesting wide receiver battle in all of football, I think. I think that's so fascinating. There's a lot of different fun things going on here. And I think the funnest part of this, and this is one of the things I love about, if anybody hasn't picked up on this, when I ask questions like, who's the greatest second baseman of all time or whatever, my real joy in this is not only the conversation, but the fact that everybody's right. There's nobody who's going to throw an answer out there or whatever, and you're going to be, well, but so-and-so. Well, that's debate. That's how this goes. I like the idea of that wide receiver room showing up, like whoever the starters are on week one against Detroit. I think you're good, no matter what combination it is, no matter who you've got in those two starting spots. There are three, possibly, if they don't go with the two tight end set. I think that you've got a great position. You've got whatever the combo is. You got a wide receiver room that is so strong, and we stop bringing up Mecole Hardman. And we you know, haven't even talked about a Super Bowl winning wide receiver.
And that's one thing I was going to say is you haven't heard his name too much.
Yeah.
Because it's all been
doing his job. He's playing good.
Yeah,
you know,
but it's all been about the rookies.
I think that you've got some great opportunities here with this team and the growth of Jordan Love with that team. I still would not turn down bringing in a veteran wide receiver. I'm not against that. But I do think that all of this, and a little similar to other teams when you got this isn't a great example, but the Brewers bring in Brandon Woodruff. It was almost like signing a free agent or trading for a player, him coming off of the DL. I think that with the Packers and Watson sitting there, and I'm still looking at him being able to play the last 2-3 months of the season possibly.
Everything that I've read is the same thing that you've read. He's really progressed. He can run on it. They just don't want him to get hit, which I'm not arguing. That's perfectly fine.
Now, it's a whole different story the last couple of seasons, so much expected of him, and not in an over-expected way, just to do his job.
Yeah.
And that just not really is sometimes happening, sometimes not.
Mm-hmm.
With him coming onto a team with everything we just got done saying, and he's just an added piece, I'd like to see what he can do. I'd like to see what he, we got Miko cutting in, we've got a Golden going out, but left, you know, and I just
not
send
even.
Him screaming down the field.
How about you send?
Or
how about
send
you
them
say?
All.
Yeah. I was going to say send Golden one side, send Watson the other side. That free safety is going to have to commit to one, and you're going to have one on one on the other.
And as they're booking, Love hands it off to Jacobs, and he runs it for 30 or 40.
I mean, you pulled out the linebackers into the flats, so it's going to be one on one. Your linemen better win their battle, get to that second level, and Jacobs, he's going to run over a safety in a corner.
And this is why, in part, why not only there's excitement for this team and a lot of hype on this team as far as them making a playoff run and being a possible NFC representative in the Super Bowl, because that's the stuff that I'm hearing. It's also why when you bring up, well, I'd trade Malik for a starter on defense, I hear you, because that's the thing that could be, we have no idea yet. These guys haven't played a game yet. But right now, on paper, the thing that fears, I think, a lot of Packer fans is that defense, and in particular the cornerback situation. Especially with the Hobbs getting banged up, I could see, okay, well, how can we address this? What can we do here?
Well, I mean, I don't know if you watched Family Night or not. I mean, granted, it was five days ago now, but the defense, I thought, looked better than the offense.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, there's
usually early in the season.
Right,
you know.
Usually is. But the other thing I'll say is very, very impressed with the kicking game. The punter, punter looked really good, I thought, from what little punting they showed. But McManus has had a great camp. I think he's 44 out of 46.
I heard our friend Mike Clemens talking about it, and they kept challenging him, like having him kick 55-yarders into wind and all this, and he's still nailing it and everything. I mean, no, there's no downside to that.
You've got your kicker post Mason Crosby. Mm-hmm. Now the next problem is thinking of the next one in a few years.
Yeah. You know, for a small market team, the lifeblood of it is next man up. And when you we've talked endlessly about the quarterback position in Green Bay, and rightfully so. It deserves to be. I think even as much as we could talk about it, it'll take 30 years to really be able to look back and say, my God, they went like 40 years almost with great, not just good quarterbacks, legends at the quarterback position. I don't know how many times we'll ever see that in football history. You can go ahead and show me the 49ers with Montana and Young. That didn't last that long.
That was really short.
It was a very short stretch.
That was about 10 years, what, 85
between
to 95?
Between the two of them, a complete difference going from Favre to Rodgers and possibly Love here. It's remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, about 15 years each.
And it couldn't happen, and this is very difficult for me to say, but I am honest on these airwaves. It couldn't happen to a better team, a small market team that really needs it. Right. I think a very similar thing with the kicker position. Going back to since we were kids.
Oh, Chris Jackie.
And stuff like that, which, by the way, one of the nicer people I'll ever meet.
Yeah, he's a very nice guy.
He knew I was a Bear fan. It still was nice to me. That's class, man. That's class.
But you can tell a lot by just an impression.
Yeah.
You know, and
Hair, too.
Oh,
great hair.
Yeah.
Really good hair.
Yeah. Right. And then but that's the thing. You mentioned that. You had Jackie. Then you had Longwell, Crosby, and the Green Bay's kicking legacy there
really
is almost as good, as good as quarterback play.
And for any team that has been crying to have one good kicker in its history, you know how valuable that is. Every one of those teams has a heartbreaking story of losing a game because of their kicker.
I think the best kicker that I've seen in recent years who might – well, one's going to be going to the Hall of Fame, I think, next year, and that's Vinatieri.
Oh, yeah.
But the best kicker I think I saw was Double Doink himself. How do you do that without trying?
Yeah, really.
I mean, that's a good kicker.
I personally will never see a better kicker than Kevin Butler. I will never see a kicker.
What about the Mortensen boys?
They're okay. There's better kickers, and there's more legendary kickers. But for me, a guy that was asked of him, he did it. Dicka didn't treat him like a kicker.
No,
he was another tackler, and he made sure that he knew how to tackle.
Oh yeah,
not just your McAfee throwing himself at somebody and everything and trying to act tough. I'm talking about a guy who actually learned to tackle by the legs and was smart about it. They used his head. Kevin Butler got the nickname Butthead, not just because he headbutted everybody, but because he used his head. He was smart. He was incredibly intelligent. He was an added asset on this game where you look for every advantage you can on if you're smart at this game and you're looking at it and not just trying to be you can go ahead and be the toughest. I'm going to hold the championship at the end. When it comes to bringing everybody to the field and, hey, I got an extra guy that could actually tackle.
Yep.
Why do teams not do this more? Make that kicker Sebastian Janikowski. Get him in the weight room. Get him some muscle. Teach him how to tackle. Have an asset out there, especially these punters like McAfee and these guys that are willing to do it and everything. I give them credit. It's not asked of them necessarily, but it should be. I got a guy out there that could be tackled.
Well, I mean, they're special teams.
Or at least be a body to get in the way.
They're special teams. I mean, even your quarterbacks too. You throw a pick six, or you throw a pick. What's worse than throwing a pick six? And that's one thing we're all say. Aaron Rodgers, he stopped Urlacher.
Remember
that?
Oh yeah, I am always in favor of this. I don't care if my player gets hurt. The only exception that I've ever thought of this is Tua Tagovailoa and him leading the tackle with his head. Like, that's not smart.
Right.
You're in the quarterback position because you're supposed to be smarter than almost anybody on the field. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen an athlete do in my history in 48 years of watching sports. Like, that's different. That's a whole different thing. But otherwise, I want a quarterback quarterback that's willing to throw himself out there and tackle. And if he's smart about it, he's not going to hurt his arm. No, he's not going to hurt his throwing arm or anything. He knows how to tackle. Teach everybody on the field.
Right.
Everybody on that team should know how to tackle.
Absolutely.
I don't care if you're the backup guard, you should know how to tackle right.
Yep.
That's football. We will come back, talk some more football more than likely. But we also want to talk some Raptor baseball with you. We're going to be out and about. We are out and about tonight. We're already out there. I want to send a shout out to Laura and Pam over there at Witter Field right now for a national night out. Hope our officers are having fun down there as well. Michael and I are going to have some fun when we come back with more Playmakers. We speak sport.
Summer gatherings happen around the grill, so make sure whatever you're grilling is delicious and healthy. Family Natural Foods prides themselves in providing quality, free-range, hormone-free chicken, beef, shrimp, Alaskan salmon, and for something special, buffalo. All great for the grill. Family Natural Foods carries the summer family essentials, all-natural bug spray and sunscreen, flea and tick for your four-legged friends, and electrolytes to keep you hydrated. Family Natural Foods, your home for making this summer great. Family Natural Foods, West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids.
What's faster than a speeding bullet and more powerful than a locomotive? Your potential when you partner with WAM Incorporated. WAM Inc. is your source for promotional power. From custom apparel, pens, tumblers, magnets, and beyond, we've got everything needed to win the day. You can also soar onto our new website, WAMInc.com. WAM Inc. for the hero in you.
It's back. Because of the tremendous response last year, the studios of WFHR and WIRI will be having an open house on Wednesday, August 20th from 12 to 6 p.m. Join the crew for food trucks, games, and a staff dessert contest. Kids can try their hand at being a radio announcer. Some will even be played on the air. Local nonprofits will be on hand, along with special live broadcasts on both stations. Join us right here, 1690 2nd Avenue South, for our open house on August 20th from 12 to 6.
Hi, I'm Ashley, a certified radio digital executive. With decades of experience working with small businesses and owning my own, does digital marketing make you feel overwhelmed? Sometimes there are so many choices and packages to choose from. You could just sign up for everything and the kitchen sink, but there's a better way. Call me at 715-496-0710, and I can build the perfect package for your business.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, warm, and muggy tonight. Maybe a storm late and lows in the mid-60s. Mostly cloudy tomorrow. Few showers and storms. Heating up. Highs up into the mid-80s. Hot and humid Friday. Mostly sunny. Highs within a few degrees of 90. Currently 81 degrees.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning I almost did it. Morning show. Almost said it. I own it. I checked. It was a strike. It was a strike. I swung. Playmakers here on 105.5 WIRI. Mr. Brooks playing us in. Thank you much for that, sir. We got to take it to the top of the hour. Laura's going to come in and take care of you for the rest of the night, most of the night with great music. She is busy right now, though. She and Pam are down at Winter Field as part of the National Night Out, this great event that our community hosts over at Winter Field with our Rapids Police Department, and I talked to Sheriff Becker this morning, and he's down there with the team and stuff. Yeah, the police, the squad cars and all that, kids checking those out and everything. One of the more important events that any city can host is National Night Out, building that bridge between officers and our community. More and more kids growing up and being like, that's just another person. I can go into them for trouble. Yeah. If I'm in trouble, I can go to them to talk to them. And our officers understanding how important that bridge is.
Good relations, man.
Man, as somebody who grew up with the exact opposite of that, I'm awfully thankful to see a lot of that and to talk to guys like Sean and that and see how we're very fortunate in this area that these guys get this stuff.
No, just like we're average Joes. You want to talk to us, talk to us about sports anytime, and especially call on up. Love to get you in the show here this last little bit.
And one of the things we're looking forward to hearing from our audience more and more about is fantasy sports. You can go ahead and throw this into your Googler if you like, everybody. Look at the most the biggest growing businesses in the last 20 years. Look at the most consistent businesses in the last 7 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. And one of them in the top 2 and 3 is always fantasy sports. It's a gigantic thing. And this is before, in many ways, the rise of gambling in sports and legalization of it.
Right.
It's only going to get bigger with that. There is nobody really covering this subject. I understand that you got your Matthew Berry's and you got people out there, but most of it is on streaming or a separate show or what have you. There is almost none of it in radio until now. We are going to be having a sub, kind of a sideshow as a part of Playmakers.
I mean, we are a sideshow. We got to be honest with that.
Definitely a sideshow. Man, I walked right into that one, and I own it. Absolutely, we are.
I mean, when you get me and Randy together, that's three-ring circus right there.
We're going to talk a little more and put a little more focus on fantasy sports, in particular with the fantasy football season kicking off. We want to talk about that with you guys. So as we're telling you, hey, call up with your sports thoughts and feelings. If you want to talk fantasy sports, feel free to. Otherwise, you can always text in through the Civic Media app about it and keep on listening, because we're going to build something here, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun to do. And it's something that nobody's really covering.
Well, I mean, the next 2 weeks I've got one fantasy draft day after the Packers-Seahawks game. That last preseason game, and then that Sunday of Labor Day, I've got one fantasy draft at 3 and the other at 9. So there, it's 'tis the season, my friends.
One of the more interesting things to me about fantasy football that's happened since I've been doing this for almost 20 years and all that, I don't know how long. It seemed like it was so obvious back in the day, like the 1 to 3, 4 guys. Oh, that's who the number one pick is, or whatever. That's out the window now.
There's so many different philosophies.
Yeah, who knows who the number one pick should be and all that and everything. I almost, like, in our league that I'm in, if you win the championship, one of the things that you get is the number one pick.
Really?
And so to me, like, obviously you want to win the championship, but also it's almost a curse sometimes, because it rarely ever works out that the number one pick is actually, like, one, stays healthy, or two, it, you know, actually works out as that was your best pick.
Yep.
It's such a crapshoot with all this.
And all of it is.
That's part of the fun of this. Now, I respect Matthew Berry and a lot of these guys that make their bones on fantasy sports. More power to them. They do a great job. I like Matthew Berry. I think he does a nice... I actually like Matthew Berry's story more than almost anything, to just from the ground up turning this into what he is. And if you like fantasy sports, it's one of the reasons why it is what it is today, when the work he's put into it.
Yeah.
But he'll be the first one to tell you, him and I know the same stuff almost.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, so that's the... And you out there know as much as we do over here. That's what's the fun about this. Let's talk about it. Let's share information. Let's have some fun and see how our teams do.
Yeah, and I mean, the beautiful thing with fantasy football, I mean, that's where, you know, if it was around back in the 80s, that's the one time, or the 90s, I should say, where you could have conceivably had Brett Favre handing off to Barry Sanders.
Oh my God. The dreams or nightmares of every Green Bay fan. You can replace Tony Mandrich with Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
it's a nightmare for me.
They might still be playing to
this day. Absolutely. 100%. Barry Sanders does not retire in 10 years if he's in Green Bay. There's no way he does. He quit because he didn't quit. He retired because of the way, well, they're not trying to win. They're rebuilding over here. Why do I want? And he didn't want to go to another team.
Right.
He didn't want to be one of those guys.
Great.
You know,
he's loyal. I give him that.
I am also chewing on something else. If we could get, you got to have at least 6 teams. I'm toying with the idea of doing a fantasy league with our listeners, where it's some of us, our staff, whoever wants to be involved, and our listeners out there. If you are interested in doing this, you know, reach out on the Civic Media app or message us through Facebook or just call up and let us know that you're interested. 715-424-2600.
I'm down.
I say we'll give this to probably, you know, the final week of preseason and see where we go. If we get enough teams, I know that I would do it. I know you would. You're saying you would, and I feel like Seth would, although we'll talk to him first.
Yeah.
But if we could get at least 6 teams together, I think that'd be a lot of fun.
The downside, though, is Pam will get in. She'll win the whole thing.
Win the whole darn thing. People
by 30 points each game.
You've been here long enough now. You get it. Pam is the wild card. She is the mongoose over there. That you don't know. Oh, it's a mongoose. What can it do? Oh,
there
it,
you
it's
go.
A killer. It's a killer. spoiler.
Well, I mean, that's like I've talked about. How about we do a weekly pick'em in the office? Yeah. I mean, just bragging rights. And then you quickly reminded me, yeah, don't do that. Pam's just going to win.
She's going to win. She's going to win. And rightfully so. We encourage you to go check out what Pam and Laura and I think Quinn's down there too. Go say hi to them. And we look forward to meeting you down there. It's going to be a lot of fun. We got an hour left over at National Night Out over at Winterfield. Keep in mind, if you go to it, you get a free ticket to the game. Ooh. To see the Rafters win their final home game of the season. That's right, win. I'm calling a win tonight against the Fond du Lac Dock Spiders.
I'm down with that.
Them Dock Spiders don't know what they're walking into tonight. We're going to show them what home field advantage is. Get down there to Winterfield. Cheer on this team. Whatever gripes you might have, whatever feelings you might have, positive or negative, we got one more home game this season. Let's show them how much we appreciate these young men coming to town, bringing their skills here, hanging out, treating our city well. You have never heard a bad story about a Rafter player. You've never
heard a bad story
about a River King player. These guys come here, and they don't just bring their skill set. They bring their class, and I appreciate that. They are an economic powerhouse for this community. Wins and losses are great. You know one thing that we have that brings in every season? Money.
Yep.
That's a positive, everybody. Give this front office, give this coaching staff another year, I hope. Just my opinion. I'd like to see that. And give them a chance to build on the scouting pipelines that they're building and coaching experiences and all that. And, you know, we'll see you next season. And we'll have more Rafter baseball for you. We do have a handful of games left in the season. One, two, three. Yeah, we got three more games left in the season. All of them will be right at WFHR at 97.5 FM. You can catch them there. And, of course, tonight, no different. 6:20 start time if you can't make it to Winterfield. And, of course, the rest of the week. Actually, yeah, the rest of the week, 6:20 start times. And then Saturday, 8:250. For the final game of the season where the Rafters will be in Wausau taking on the Woodchucks. Great show today, man.
Yeah, you too, buddy.
It was a lot of fun. We'll meet you back here on Friday, everybody, for more Playmakers where we speak sport.
Live from Central Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app, 105.5 WIRI, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
Hello and welcome to Laura's Lounge on 105.5 FM WIRI. My name is Laura and I'm happy to be here with you on this Wednesday evening. Thank you for tolerating my absence Monday and Tuesday. I took some very needed days off. Thank you, Seth, for filling in for me and to all the others who also possibly filled in with for me. Either way, let's kick off today with the Zach Brown Band.
Got my toes in the water, in the sand. Not a worry in the world, a cold beer in my hand. Life is good today. Life is good today. Well, a plane touched down just about 3 o'clock, and the city's still on my mind. Bikinis and palm trees danced in my head.